So you know what, guys? We should probably turn down our volume.
I did.
Here. Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Gary, and Jeff is with me, and Sam, and we are going to do a conversation on the subject of work. And specifically, what is that like for our heart? We all have to live in the work world. Some of us are trying to work in the work world right now. And we wanted to talk about what is that experience like, and what does that say to us, and how do we read our heart in the midst of work, be it enjoyable or hard, fulfilling or completely unfulfilling, and where is God in this? What is He doing? And it's just a subject that we live in all the time, and we can get into conversations with each other easily about it, asking how's work going, and But I don't know that we often go to the place of trying to go deeper into the meaning of work and what is the condition of our heart in it and why is that. So that's what we're going to do tonight. And so, Sam and Jeff, thank you. I look forward to asking you guys questions about this topic.
And this
will be a lively conversation, as everyone can tell.
we're just spring-loaded.
I'm really excited about this topic because so many guys I talk to, if you talk to them, one of the constant themes that you hear from guys is how heart-draining their job is. There's something about the job that just is sucking the life from them, sucking their heart energy, if you will. And so I'm looking forward to this discussion. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, this should be good. Well, I'll tell you what, since Chad already has his hand up, and maybe now they've heard the introduction, he's thinking that this was about something else. I don't know, marital intimacy or something like that, so he couldn't wait to put his hand up. Anyway, Chad, I have just unmuted you. So, hey, give us your thought, your comment, your wisecrack, whatever.
Hey, I don't know where you're going to jump in. I was just messing with you, Gary. So you put, that's fine. I'd love to jump in. That's why I finally made this conversation. I'm actually in a place where I really feel like I am, after 15 years of doing what I do self-employed, 17 years of doing it professionally, I feel like I'm just hitting a zone that I'm just loving. I have friends that like to do long distance running. And I guess I have friends that like to fall downstairs too, but they talk about hitting that runner's high, and I've never run more than like 6 or 7 miles tops in my life. So people that do these marathons,
At one time,
I know they do a marathon. 26 miles. So, but anyway, they will talk about hitting that runner's high, and where you can just keep going and going. And I feel like I'm finally hitting that in my own world with helping people with their brands and with their companies. And I'm just really enjoying it. And I think this has just been a great transition year for me. It started 2010 was really an almost going out of business, or at least it felt that way, kind of year, just because of the world economy. And I had to reinvent how I do everything. And I just had to really get to the place of realizing at the first of the year, I just started. And you were in conversations with me about this too, Gary, and so is Sam. He was right there, and it just got back to the point of wow. I just want to make an impact. I'm just forget about trying to reach financial goals, and let's get back to I just want to be needed. I want to make an impact. I know I've got value I can offer to people, and so I just dove in with that, and it's just been a different mood this year. I've had a couple of glitches, a couple of moments this year where it's been like, whoa, where did that come from? But overall, I think where I really hit my starting really, what really changed things for me was I encountered probably one of the most difficult clients I've ever worked with in the spring and ever. And then right on the tail end of that was offered this amazing opportunity to come down to a company south of where I live in Texas and talk to them about coming on full time, and it was going to be an amazing offer, and they treated the whole family, brought us all down there, and it was like, wow, and after a few days of that wining and dining and just enjoying that, you know, just feeling esteemed and just really lifted up, I realized, wow, this is just not what I want. I mean, the money could be great. It could be secure, everything people are looking for right now in this economy. And I realized how much I would miss the life that we have right now. My wife homeschools. I work in an office at home. I've never wanted to work since I've been self-employed. I've had offers to have free office space and great places all over Tulsa where we live. And I just really, really enjoy our life. And it's just been, ever since that transition came this summer, we drove back and I just told them, look, I'm just not your guy. And I feel honored that you see me as that, but this is not what I want. And I drove away with a big smile on my face. And Debbie and I, ever since that moment, have just really had so much gratitude for what we do have. And I think it comes down to, for me, just being grateful and realizing, wow, I just have so much. And I think at times we can look at, or at least I can look at what I have and compare myself to others and feel like, oh, I'm not where I need to be after 15 years of self-employment. I mean, you'd think I'd get this stuff and I would I would have things down much more than I do, but I wasn't a business major. I was a creative guy in college, and I'm still learning all the business stuff. But I think for me personally, it's just I really feel like I'm hitting a stride this year that I don't think I've ever felt in my career ever.
So you were working out of your home, just like you're doing now, before the job interview, and
yeah,
you're working back in the same home. So, yes, I can see the gratitude thing, and I remember you just talking about how you didn't realize how much you do enjoy the environment, the setting that you're
yeah
in. But it seems like something else changed as well. I'm not saying as if I know the answer and I'm fishing for it, but
sure,
I do think that there was something else that changed in your heart about your work or about the effort of your life or the focus of your life. Was there something else that shifted as well?
I think it was just looking at what we have and realizing the life we have is the life we chose. And it really is what we wanted. And seeing that little by little decisions we made, I first went out on my own became self-employed. I was 24 years old and back in 1996. Left a company, didn't even have one client, and for a month I just was at home. I was working on an album project, but because I was quitting my job because I wanted to be a freelancer, wanted to do what I'm doing now because I thought I wanted to, you know, record music and sing for a living, and that was a pursuit for so many years. But I think I realized this summer on that drive home from that Texas opportunity, I realized, wow, the choices we've made along the way have been always in pursuit of home and family first, and business that I do and the career that I have serves our family, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chad, let me just throw out one other observation as you're saying this, and that is, it seems to me what changed for you was you were more isolated before, and I'm talking a couple years back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it seems like now you're far more connected with people relationally. I mean, one that obviously comes when you have more clients, but it just seems even relationally, you were just at a different level, deeper level with people, so you weren't isolated anymore.
Oh, yeah, and that's definitely true. I mean, I've this has definitely been a big year for connecting with more and more people. I mean, I've gone from, you know, working with about 5 to 7 maybe clients a year to about 30 this year so far, and more coming. And it's, you know, I've just had to take on more business and more clients because the scale of business is all shrank, budgets have shrank, and so but definitely just relationally, yeah, I'm not as isolated as I once was, and I think a lot of that isolation that I personally I would say it was pushed on by myself. It was kind of my own closing myself off. I think a lot of that honestly stems from shame Whether it's I don't feel like I'm really doing business well, and so there's, you know, I don't really have others in my life that can relate because most of my friends are not self-employed, and just kind of this almost a shame that comes over from where, you know, for how my life looks to me from the inside out, and then when I, you know, step out and I get feedback from friends as I open up more, it's like I start realizing, wow, we really have so much to be grateful for, and things, I'm so hard on myself. I raise the bar so high, but then I whip myself and condemn myself for not hitting those high marks, and I realize, wow, I'm really living well. Obviously I'm not hitting nearly where I'd love to, but I need to give myself a lot more grace. But as I give myself grace, then there's room to allow love in and allow, you know, myself to be touched by friends and really open up. And even in the client relationships, those turn into friendships. And yeah, there's definitely a difference there.
Yeah.
You know, it's so good to hear Chad's story about hitting his mark and finding his stride right now. In the sense of work is a gift from God. You know, God creates Adam. He gives him his place in the garden, and he's off to work in there. And in that, there's this idea that we're to cooperate with God in what we do in bringing heaven to earth, and that work is a gift. There's lots to talk about on this subject, but I believe that to be true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. I do too. Well, let me ask you then, Jeff, and Chad is on mute right now because I want to move on here for a second. Chad, thank you. That was a great beginning. Jeff, you've talked before. One of your passions is the idea of transition, and you've mentioned before in the past the idea of how do we discern when we are persevering in a situation, which is something that we need to learn how to do, and that's a noble thing, and the difference between that and when we're actually not persevering, we're actually just stuck. We should be moving on, and we're not. And we'd like to call it perseverance, but what it really is more is paralysis than perseverance. Say more about that.
That's a great question. And just to reiterate what Gary was saying in the beginning of this campfire conversation is that I think there's a lot of collective wisdom on the phone right now that we could talk about. I might be able to share maybe one slice of the pie here, but I would really love to hear what guys here have to say about that. Because what if we get a person who is really having a hard time in his job? Is this something God is having him persevere through? Did he just get his feelings hurt or his expectations weren't met? Or is he in a position where he is literally stuck? And I think what stuck looks like to me is that in my mind, you know, if God comes to give life, there's growth to that. There's possibilities. There's movement. There's fluidity. There's new worlds to explore. If you're in a situation where there is no upside on that, and it's not good for your heart, and that you're being diminished, discouraged, hey, you're just damn lucky you have a job, you know, that sort of attitude is coming against you, that to me is some of the indicators of what it looks like to be stuck, and that whatever it looks like from there, wherever you're going, is going to take an enormous amount of risk. And, you know, I think that we just have a tendency to float towards the shallow waters of safety, comfort, security, and it's a little hard for us sometimes to just go, you know, I just really need to take a chance here for my own heart and to pursue something different. And so that's my take on it. I'd love to hear what other guys have to say on that.
Well, Sam, Jeff, let me ask a question before you
continue. I was going to say, yeah, Sam, go ahead while we're waiting for the other guys to respond as well, please. Sorry.
Yeah. So Jeff, we all meet people who are stuck, and we've been stuck ourselves at different times. Why do you think we are content to stay stuck? I mean, we're not content, but you know, we so often we're stuck for a month, a year, 5 years. Why do you think we stay stuck?
Well, you know, I think that some guys are in their 50s, and they're in situations that there isn't any upside, there is no growth, and they're just looking at that they have a short time left. They're looking at retirement, and I think they look at the fact that if I just stay here and play it safe, things will work out better for me. And I don't necessarily believe that to be true. I think if that you're not growing and pursuing your heart on certain things, just staying and playing it safe might not be your best option. Things might not go well. It's not as safe as it appears, you know. So that's one area where I think there's a tendency, and I seem to be working mostly with guys that are 40s and in their 50s. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I think depending on where we are in life, that has an effect on how we look at the situation we're in, you know, where our heart is with it, or if we're willing to take a risk. I think that's very true, and I think that is just accentuated in the time that we live in now, where there is so much fear, and there feels like there's so little opportunity. You know, I think it's very true. Now, let me throw out a question. This is really good. Jim McFarland said this. He said, so what about being in a job that God wants to teach you something in? Since jobs are a gift, does God not at times use a job to minister to us in areas that are not our gifting?
I think the answer is absolutely yes. Let me tell you, in the, I don't know, the mid-80s or something, I was looking for a job. I was trying to get a job, and I was given a few different job offers, and I prayed about it. I talked to a few different people, and I felt like God asked me to take a particular job, and I actually started it, I think it was January 1st, 1985, or 1984, I mean. And I got to tell you, I have never hated a job as much as that job. I hated... The worst night of the week was Sunday night because I had to wake up Monday morning and go to work, and I hated that job. I hated it with a passion. And, you know, we can talk about that in a little bit. Now, about a year later, a little less than a year later, I got another job that I liked, and so I didn't have to do that anymore. And I remember just praying, God, I was looking for wisdom. I was looking for direction. I felt like you called me to this thing. What was going on there? Did I just mishear you? Did all my friends mishear you? And you know, now listen, I always say God said to me, but I don't mean like there was handwriting on the wall. It was more like a sense I got, an idea I got. But the thing that I felt like God was teaching me, even though it wasn't handwriting on the wall, don't misunderstand me. I look back at that job and I learned so much about myself through the things that I hated in that job. I mean, I would say that I learned more about who I am, what I'm supposed to bring, and who I'm not, and what I really don't want to bring. I learned more in that 10 months of a job than I probably did in the next 5 or 6 years of a job that I actually sort of liked. And so to answer Jim's question, I think God really will often do things. He'll put us in positions that teach us so much if we're willing, you know, with God, with other guys, with other friends, to sit back and analyze it and say, what was really going on there? What did I learn about myself from that? I hope that helps answer Jim's question, but I certainly think that one of the ways God speaks to us is he teaches us what we don't like, what we're not
right.
made for.
Right.
He narrows the field down dramatically.
Yeah. Well, and there's no doubt, I mean, in my mind, that we learn the deepest lessons through hardship. You know, we learn things, obviously, through good circumstances, reading a book, a great conversation, being mentored, taught, inspired. But I think the things that I know in my life, the things that have stuck the deepest, that are both good and bad, have come from painful situations. So I really do. I mean, I have no doubt that God will bring us into a situation, you know, that's hard because he wants to teach us something. And I mean, I've seen it in my life, and I really feel like he was just saying, right now, Gary, the output of your life is not what's important right now. It's the input. And so I'm really worried about output. You know, well, what's this about, and am I contributing? And you know, actually, my greatest concern is I hate my life right now. but I do think that many times God is saying, you know, right now, this is about something I'm developing in you, so your enjoyment of the job or your contribution is not the issue. Now, if that goes on, I mean, my opinion is that if I saw a man in that for years upon years, I would be concerned at that point that there may be more of a stuck issue than a perseverance issue, you know, because I just don't see God doing that for a long period of time, unless it's actually turning into a form of discipline at this point, you know?
Right. But I think one of the things that we need to do in those situations is, if God's trying to teach us a lesson, I think we need to be able to ask our heart, to ask God, and really do it with friends, to say, what is it about this? You know, why is my heart drained so much in this particular environment, in this situation? What is it that for me just doesn't work? Just doesn't work. And I know one thing about that one particular job is I had to go, I was basically on my own. And I was on my own from 8 in the morning till 6 at night. And I'm not an overly extroverted person. I'm not like Jeff. Jeff's a real extroverted person. I'm not. But I realized that being alone from 8 in the morning till 6 at night just was not the kind of environment that I want to be in. I need to be engaged with people as part of a team. So for me, it took some real heart analysis to learn what God was teaching me through that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't
really
just
good.
Jump to a safety ship. I had to take some time with friends to help me ask questions and say, what's really going on?
Yep.
So, Gary, let me ask you a question. How many guys do you think, and I guess this is a guess, come to a calling retreat with the hopes of finding a better job or a more appropriate job?
Well, you know, it's interesting. This intensive I did last weekend in Colorado Springs, at the end, the group host said, okay, before you leave, I want us to gather up in a circle in chairs, and I want us to go around the room, and I want you to talk about your takeaway. What happened to you this weekend? What are you taking away? What shifted? And a number of guys said in this, I came looking for an answer, and I did not get what I wanted, but I got what I needed. And the first guy actually shared that by you know, quoting that line out of that that song from I can't think of the, what's the group? You know, you don't always get what you need or what you want.
Oh yeah,
you always...
too. Oh no.
No.
Okay.
No. This is silly. We're not remembering. The Rolling Stones. Anyway, he started with that, and then many guys after that said that's the same for me. So I think a lot of guys come wanting to find the answer to, should I stay in my job? Should I be doing something different? And if so, what is it? And I hope they walk out with the idea of, wow, okay, if I could gain the tools to read my heart and hear God's voice every day, I could get this answer. But I'm not going to get it here in a foreign environment at this point, you know. So I think that is pretty common. Hey, I want to ask a question real quickly, or I actually want to bring on a caller who's asking a question, and the problem is I don't know who it is because it just simply shows their telephone number with no name.
I
so it's
think
Michigan
it's Jerry.
Is that you, Jerry? You're unmuted, whoever it is. Yeah, that's you.
Okay, that would be me.
So what's your thought, comment, or question?
Well, I don't know that I have a question about my whole career probably, but you've hit on some of it as I've been waiting, and that's the length of time that you wait. I mean, I have had a sense for it probably more than 20 years that I don't belong in corporate aviation. Now, and it's really tough to talk to anybody about it because most people think that I have a job spawned in heaven. You know, that I'm flying, wonderful equipment. I see a lot of places. I don't work especially hard. I frequently say that this job is tough, but it beats working for a living. I'm paid well. I have a great benefit package. I mean, you know, it's just it's the dream job for most people.
You're making us really feel sorry for you.
Yeah, right. And so it's tough for me to even make a comment here. But but it sucks the life out of me sometimes. And probably, like I said, for 20 years or more, I've known that I don't belong in corporate aviation, but I haven't known how to move out of it. And I did make one attempt at it. I headed for my roots in South Dakota to purchase a crop spraying business that would have got me back to my love of agriculture and all of that sort of thing. And that deal failed. The business transaction collapsed. Scared the crap out of my wife. And we wound up back in Michigan where we hadn't sold our home. And I saw God, you know, provide a tent-making opportunity, and it's been good. It's been good tent-making. But I'm so dissatisfied.
Right.
And I try to bring it up with my wife, and she's still scared from that experience and doesn't even want to talk about it. She's having a hard time even talking about retirement now. And, Jeff, I hate to say it, you're working with, you know, guys in their 50s. Well, I'm 62 now, going on 63. So they're just puppies, you know, they're just getting going.
But, hey, so Jerry, let me ask you, what is it, can you put your finger on why you're so dissatisfied with corporate aviation?
There's an emptiness in it. I go to work, my heart's not in the flying anymore. I've often thought early on, in the first years of my present job, I managed a flight department, so I had opportunity to put input into guys' lives, to talk with them, to encourage them, which is one of my strong points, is to be an encourager. But man, you can only do it for so long with the same guys, and it starts to get old. And as an example, not too long ago, I had an opportunity to just go up to the Young Life Camp where we hold our Hearts Alive and Free event. And I mowed grass for 3 days and in the process got connected up with a group of men that came from one of our rescue missions locally. And it was just an amazing time. It was wonderful of, you know, fellowship, just talking to guys and encouraging them. And I saw that come alive. I saw myself enjoying that. I see the pieces of, like, getting to a calling event is always good for me. But I don't know where to direct it, and because the job takes most of my time, and so it's hard for me to even explore other areas.
Right. Okay, so what we might be saying and thinking here is that you might be in transition yourself at 63 years of age. You know, if you just absolutely loved it and you were 63, I would say keep going. If you're 63 and you don't like it, there's a transition coming up. There's a retirement date out there. And so I think the important thing is to begin to find out what it is I'm really passionate about and getting back to that and recovering that and beginning to look at what the options will look like in retirement so that you just don't retire one day and then for 2 years you're floundering, you know. But begin that transition now. It's coming for you.
Mm-hmm. And Jerry, the other thing I'm struck by is that you said, you know, I almost feel guilty like I shouldn't talk about this when I have an easy job and it pays well. You know what? It really is about the condition of your heart and how it's doing. It's not about how hard
Absolutely.
The work is. It
Absolutely.
Reminds me of that. Remember that line in Seabiscuit when he said, "I think it's better for a man to break his leg than break his heart."
Right.
I just think.
Yeah, I cry every time I hear that one.
yeah.
I mean, that's right. And but I don't know where to go with it. I don't know how even to explore it, especially when my bride is so resistant. It's really tough. And to talk to even band of brothers, it's tough because they're going, "You're nuts, man. You have the dream job." And they just, I mean, unless they're really tuned in, they're not tracking with me, and it's hard to have a conversation with them.
Right. Well, they're probably partially speaking out of their own desires, meaning they would love to have a job like that and pay like that. And and they're not happy in their job either, but they would rather have your job and be unhappy than theirs. It's just not helpful to come from that approach. Yeah.
Right. But, Sam, you hit it just a little bit ago. It was, "Hey, Jerry, you're not making us feel very sorry for you." And that's exactly the kind of conversation that happens. And so it's tough to get into a really serious conversation about where would I go. So,
yeah, I was just rubbing salt in the wound.
Yeah, I know you were. Yeah.
No, I understand what you're talking about.
Go ahead. Well, and I was going to say, and one of the things I've appreciated so much about my relationship with the Noble Heart and Gary and Sam, and I don't know the rest of you guys, but, you know, Gary, the question came up here about are people coming to a calling event to find new work? And I knew better than that because I knew enough about where your heart was and what you were trying to teach us. So I didn't come looking for work. But I've appreciated so much how you have taught me to be able to do what I can with what I have where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that has had an impact. And even here in this training environment now this week, which is a place I don't want to be, but I've seen opportunities to encourage somebody or just give somebody a good grin or have a good laugh with somebody. And it's been good. So I make good out of it, but it's still not my true heart.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I'm with Jeff. If it's been a long time for you, and you have hung in there, and I know you've been trying to bring more of your heart, your effect, your glory, your life to your work as you can. And like you said, it's helped some, but it's not enough. That makes me think. Yeah, there's probably a different place for you, and you know, and wise, and I understand your wise thinking. Don't you dare quit your job and be unemployed right now, you know.
Right.
And
yep.
And so there is that, you know. God, how's this transition going to look, and where do I start looking? And of course, that begins with understanding your own heart well to know what is the glory of your life to the best degree you can articulate that, you know.
Right.
So.
Hey, Jerry, just to speak into your situation for a second, you know, I can remember the time when I thought, hey, if I couldn't fly jets, I don't know what I'd do with my life. And when I was 47, I got thrown into a situation where I medicaled out from flying. And
right.
The truth of it is the last 5 years of being medicaled out have been the best years of my life. And now I can't honestly say, like, well, I followed my heart. I knew this wasn't good for me. I needed to get out. I was thrown. God knows how to, you know, move us along. And but I can look back and honestly say it's been the best 5 years. And that's that leap, you know, of, wow, I just don't know how I'd make that happen, those things I'm passionate about, you know. But yet, you know, it's been incredible. I don't know how it's worked so well. But it's been
awesome. And I really hear you, Jeff, and that's, and I have had just a little taste of that. Last year I had some cataract surgery done, so I was out of the saddle for a couple of months, and I did not miss it, not even for 1 second. I mean, I would be at the hangar because I managed the flight department, and I would watch this airplane fire up and taxi out and take off, and I didn't even have one sense ever of, oh, I wish I was going flying today. So I've had a taste of it. And I do think that it's God preparing me to know that, hey, you won't miss it once it's gone.
Yeah.
And I know
so some
that,
of the best.
It's finding that transition that I am really struggling with right now.
And everybody thinks it's just such a great job. And actually, that's a trap. You can get trapped in that, you know. And
oh, gosh, yeah. I mean,
really,
it's a good pay, the good benefits, the good everything. And it's, like I said, it's great tent making. And it's real easy to sit there and just do it.
Yeah, and I think that you've got a real wisdom about what's going on. I can relate to you. Several people have heard my – this is Sam. But several people have heard my story where in about 2000, somebody said something to me on a plane that really just rocked my world, and I started thinking, what – I don't like my job. It's not fulfilling me. It's not the thing I should do. Now, I was owning a software company. I was making a ton of money, and anyone – like you, everyone would outside could say – they envy it, but it was killing my heart. And what I did for a while was I tried to bring what I knew about my calling. I didn't have some of the terminology we have now. But I really think that God had been using that time to prepare me for the next phase, And I think the same is true for you. God has been, you've been bringing some of the stuff to your job. You bring encouragement, but at a certain point you're realizing that's, you need more. You need to be able to bring that part of you more in more situations, and it's not fully being exercised in your job. But I do think what God's done with you now is preparing you for the next thing, and I really hope for you it's soon. And I do think that you want to be able to move into something soon. God has prepared you for something.
Yeah.
Well, and I that's encouraging, and I hear you really clearly, and I hope that I'm just not in the fog when it happens and I miss it.
I don't think you'll be in the fog.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm going to jump over. We've got David Burvig on, and he wants to share something, and so he's only got a few more minutes that he has to get off. So, Jerry, thank you. David, I'm going to unmute you. You are unmuted now.
I am.
On the chat line that, you know, you went through just an awful work experience for a while, and yet you said that it taught you so much, and it's much of what you bring to others now. So, man, I'd love for you to share some of that.
Yeah, and can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. This is amazing stuff. All right. So I went to work. I spent 10 years of focus on the family, and the last couple of years were kind of tough. And I was an HR guy, and I stepped out of that realm into a different role that was not using gifts and just kind of struggling there. And I really felt like God opened the door to go work for a guy as his VP of HR, and I really truly felt like God spoke clearly, take this job. And it was on day three that I said, what in the hell am I doing here? I'm not kidding. It was day three. And I thought, oh my gosh, I ended up being there for 9 months. It felt like 5 years. And some of you guys have probably lived through these kind of things, but when you work for someone, and you know, he clearly professed Christ in his life, but his actions were so different than that. And I mean, even trying to articulate what it was like, I can't. It was horrible. Gary, you actually saw that. But one of the things was that there was 50 employees. And when I got there, they at first looked at me like I was one of his minions, and so they just hated me. But then shortly, and it didn't take long, maybe a month, they realized that they could like count on me to protect them. So I had 50 employees coming underneath me just wanting me to deflect all these shrapnel coming from this guy. And I mean, it was wounding, horrible shrapnel. And there were days I need to get my journal really to kind of bring some of this up, but it was exhausting. And guys, and I'm sorry that I can't give you more articulate words. It was just exhausting and wounding. And I just really thought God left me and just had, I'm sorry, I got this phone ringing, had me on an island on my own. But what I learned here is I learned how to care for people in this process. And so in the past 2 weeks, I have laid off 36 people in two locations. And in these past 2 weeks, God used all that hurt and pain in that situation so I could come alongside someone who was losing their job after 30 years. He was 55 years old. He didn't know what he was going to do next. And I don't know what God's going to do next with that guy's life, but I'm going to come alongside him even after his job ends at the end of the week. And I have compassion. I have, you know, God's just done something through that horrible experience and how to care for other people's hearts when their life's been just turned upside down. And so often in our jobs, we think that is our life. And so when a carpet gets yanked out from under you, you feel like all is lost. And in some cases, it might be the best thing. And so I'm looking forward to helping some of these guys figure out what that next thing is, even though I was the guy that had to give them the bad news.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Well, and David, I can tell you, as your friend, we walked together, that that was a huge breaking time in your life. And I know how hard it was, and you thought all was lost, and it's just going to get worse. So, it's amazing how God really used that to prepare you for what you're doing now. And, that's good.
Yeah, and I,
yeah.
And Gary, I'm sorry, I've got to go pick up my daughter, but I'm going to try and get back on the call. This is a lot of fun. Thank you, man.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, David. Okay. See ya. Okay. Go ahead.
One of the things that we've been talking about with work, and just kind of laying out one of the truths, is no job can contain the glory of our life. I've never seen a job that can fully contain that. And, you know, our job can't answer all the questions about our life. And I think, unfortunately, as men, we've taken our job and what that is, and we've placed it way higher, I think, than it ought to be. And I love the book, The Pastor, by Eugene Peterson. And we've talked about this. What does it look like to live like an artist? But he came across a colony of artists, and they were very creative people. They were poets, literally painters, and musicians. And they had this colony, and they had all these kinds of jobs, but they were never known for their job. They were known for what their art was. So they were bus drivers, they were doctors, they were teachers. It just, that wasn't important. The job they did was just so that they can go and do what their art was. And I love that, because there's this sort of right-sizing in that. And like David was just talking about, this guy who's 55, you know, he's probably never really going to recover another career, maybe, most likely not. But what is it like to then move into him and go, you know, maybe offering the truest thing about you is what's going to beautify this world, your world and the world around you, you know? And to begin to transition into thinking that my calling is really what the world needs, instead of living a job description. And so I just want to throw that out there.
Yep. Yeah, that's really good. Jeff and Sam, you and I, the three of us, talked about this idea that when a guy tells me that he really hates his work and he's really struggling, it's very easy to go to the environment or go to the idea of repetition or authority, you know, structure. But I think that the more key area to go to is to the point of desire. In other words, as you were saying earlier, Sam, why is it that you hate your job? You know, what is it? I mean, because, you know, we've all had experience. We're in a situation we absolutely hate it. And then we change something internally. And I don't mean our attitude. I don't mean that. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, what I would venture to say is we bring a little more of ourself to the job, you know, like Jerry's doing. And you do that, and then things start to shift.
Yeah.
Now Jerry's situation, obviously, he has been doing that. But the sign is, boy, you do that, and it's not changing. Now that's telling you something else. So anyway, I would want to go to the heart of the man and say, what is it that you would love to bring? Forget environment for a minute, where you're bringing it. What is it you want to bring? What feels like a contribution to you? Where you feel like, I was made for this. I can come home at night and say, I gave something of myself there that truly was me. And I think that's the greater issue. That's where I'd go first with a man. And then after that, I would go to environmental issues. That's where I would go.
Well, you know, Gary, I think I told you the story of a young man that was at the calling intensive in Michigan in April who hated his job. He's a good guy. I really like him. His name is Rick. And he hated his job. He hated everything about it. But after the calling, he said, I can't get another job right now. The economy in Michigan sucks. I want to bring something of myself. And one of the things he likes to bring is to make things smooth, to bring people into a decision. He's a manager of a small division. And so he formed a little committee of just his team that every Friday meets for 2 hours, and they call the meeting Time Wasters. because they're all guys who hate all this administrative crap that wastes time. And for 2 hours, they say, what can we do to cut out wasted time? And they sit, they talk, they plan it out, and then the next week they implement something. And even though 38 hours of his week, he's still doing the same thing, all of a sudden he's energized because he's bringing something of who he is into that job. And I think it's, and you know, I still think he should get a different job someday, but he is saying, I know something of who I am, and I want to bring something into my job. And he and he, and he's really transforming the job for himself some.
Right. So, guys, just to let you know, we'll stay on for about 5 more minutes. Since this has been more interactive, rather than do the 20-minute stop, open the lines, we're wanting to be talking all together anyway. So we'll go 5 more minutes. So if you have a story to share or a thought or something, please just raise your hand and jump in on it. And then if you just want to ask by chat, you can do it that way as well. And one of us will read it, and we'll do it that way. But
so, Gary, what was the worst job you ever had?
Well, managing you and me.
yeah, like I managed
apart
you
from
or
that.
I could. Yeah. You know what? One of the worst ones I ever had, I worked in high school. I worked for my best friend's dad in a construction company. And it was just a labor job. They would do all the foundational work for neighborhoods they were going to build. So it was streets, electrical, you know, gas, water, sewage. And my job one summer was to help build a sewage plant. And so, of course, the unskilled man I am in construction, I ended up the guy with the shovel who would have to get the dirt out between the tanks where the backhoe or the bulldozer couldn't go. So that's pretty much all I did all summer. And then one time a guy accidentally dropped a pair of pliers into that tank, you know, where the sewage goes and the fresh water. And they told me I had to jump in the tank and find it. I mean, this is like hold your breath and put your hand over your eyes. And at that point I said, no, I really don't need to work that bad. They'd made someone else do it. But that would have been by far my worst moment.
Sam, what's the worst job you ever had?
Did you say Sam?
Yeah.
It was this job. I took a job as a salesperson, which I didn't want to do to start with, and I had to sell a product that I didn't like. I worked for a company that was really just crappy, and I had to go off and be on my own all day long. And so I would go in, and unfortunately, I could sell this product, but I felt like dirt. I felt like I was jumping into a sewage line because they didn't need the product. And I wasn't directly selling it. There were distributors selling it, and they would just bring me in to describe it. And I'd be describing it, but I'd be thinking, I wouldn't buy this thing. You know, I would never say to somebody, buy it, because I couldn't buy it. But I would just describe what it would do and how it would work. But I sort of just felt dirty because I was associated with a product that I didn't like, and I was associated with a company that didn't do very good support. And I was honest with people. And then they would say, well, I'm going to buy from you because you're honest. And I'd say, yeah, but I'm telling the truth. The service really sucks. And they'd say, well, I love that honesty. I think I'll buy. And I just couldn't stay there.
How about you, Jeff?
Sam, that reminds me of The Incredibles, the guy working the insurance. You know, he's always trying to really help people, actually, and he wasn't making the company any money. Hot car roofing for me was the worst because they'd sit around at lunchtime and talk about their guys that they used to work with who died from cancer from breathing in all that tar. So without a doubt, hot tar roofing. And literally, I got fired from the job. Well, I didn't get fired from it. I had it for 2 weeks. Maybe it was a month. It seemed like the whole summer. But every time an airplane would fly over, I would stop and look at the airplane. So the guy told me, he said, Andreessen, go get a job flying airplanes. I'm not kidding you. So so I did.
Huh. Well, and you know what? Let me throw out just my final thought for me anyway, and that is this. You know, I think I really do believe that, that holding the distinction between our calling, our roles, and our assignments is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way, you know, we're not forcing our job to become the fulfillment of who we are or the expression of who we are fully. We realize it's just, as you were sharing in that story, what came out of the book, The Pastor, it's just, it becomes a means to not only, you know, allow you to fulfill your role as a provider and so on, but also a means to fulfill the effect of your life that you want to have, your artistry. And so now I do believe, though, that the older we get, the more in alignment the effect of our life and our work should come, because it is so much of our life. I do believe that should be true. But let me say, on the other hand, and just be really candid and honest for a minute, and that is this. You know, as if things don't, you know, I hate to even say it this way, if it gets to a point with the noble heart where I've got to find another source of income to do what I'm doing, I'll do that. I mean, I am more than willing to do something else so that I can continue doing this, because this is what my life is about. Now, if it has to, you know, if it has to look a little differently, it may not be my ideal, but I will not give up, you know, this effect, this mission that's on my heart to do, because I love it. And then I will come face to face with, you know, what am I willing to do in order to do the other? But I have gotten to the point where I thought, I'm not giving this up, though. One way or another, this is not going to give it up. My time may change, you know. So I'm trying to hold, you know, on clearly to the distinction between our calling, our roles, and our assignments.
Yeah.
So, guys, final thoughts?
Yeah, you know, for me, final thought is, I think I love what Stephen said. You know, what looks like being stuck is that this thing has been going on for a long time, months. You know, if you're having a mood swing for a couple of months, that's one thing. But if you're just depressed and taken out for 1 year and so on, quit. Get another job. Life is too short to stay in there. Because ultimately what the enemy wants to do is take your heart out and just crush that to the point where you don't even recognize it anymore. And so to save that baby, I would say go. And I think you might be amazed on what's out there in the way of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my final thought would be, if our job seems to be draining our heart significantly, I think it's worthwhile taking some time with a couple guys and taking some time sort of to pray and say, what is it about this that is so heart draining? What is it that is, what can I learn? What can I discover about who I am in this environment? And it's just a worthwhile lesson. Wherever you go, it's a worthwhile lesson.
Yep. And let me throw out, this is not meant to be a plug, though it will be. And that is, that's one of the things I love that Kevin Miller is doing in the Free Agent Academy. I mean, he has guys and gals that come in. And you know, very few of them are currently unemployed. Most of them are employed, but they're doing something they really don't enjoy. And he is trying to help them figure out, okay, what is it in your heart to do, and can it be monetized? Now, I know a lot of times we really shirk from that because that sounds very unspiritual. But basically, you know, Kevin's heart is, I want you to do what God's put on your heart to do. I want you to be fully available to Him. And if you could have a job that you create to bring to the world what you love to bring, and it can finance you, then that's ideal. And so I love it. And that's not for everybody. You know, everyone in every season, that's not going to work for them. But I love that idea, pursuing it, investigating it. You know, not, in other words, yeah, it's not being paralyzed, but it's pursuing something. I think that's good.
Mm.
So, guys, hey, we are at 7 o'clock. That was a really fast hour. My goodness.
Yeah. 9 o'clock.
We had a lot of participation, so I'll tell you what, I think, and Jeff and Sam have both chatted this to me, I think we need to pursue another call like this or another couple calls like this. Because obviously we've hit on something that's important to all of us, and it's the world we all live in.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree.
So, good. Well, thank you, everybody. We will definitely do this again. We'll make sure this gets on the calendar as we get down here. And I believe that next week, I'm flipping over my calendar real quickly. I believe next week that we actually have Bart Hansen on. That's going to be really fun, guys. And
yeah,
I haven't talked to Bart for a while. And if y'all know, Bart still works with Ransom Heart. He's just a good man with a good heart, and he's a man living after his heart the best he can. And so that'll be a great conversation. So you don't want to miss that one. And then, but we'll get back into this topic again. So, anything else, guys?
This is great.
Thanks, Gary.
You're welcome. All right, everybody, good night, and we'll be back to you soon. See ya.
Okay, good night.